This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu wa sallama wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. All praise is due to Allah and may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and upon all those who follow his guidance, to follow his way until the last day. Respected brothers and sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Today, inshaAllah ta'ala, our presentation is entitled Explanation of Surah Al-Fatiha. Explanation of Surah Al-Fatiha, the mother of the book. Surah Al-Fatiha is a very important chapter from amongst the chapters of the Quran. From amongst the 114 of chapters in the Quran, the first one, the very first one, the opening of the Quran is Surah Al-Fatiha. And we have a hadith whereby in Sahih Bukhari, whereby the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said to Abu Sa'id ibn Ma'la, one of the Sahaba, he said to him, I will teach you the greatest. He said, I will teach you أَعْظَمُ surah fil Quran. I will teach you the greatest surah, the greatest chapter in the Quran, the like of which has not been revealed in the Torah, in the Torah, and not in the Injil, not in the Bible, and not in the Quran. So this surah is superior to every other chapter. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said to him, it is Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. When he referred to it, he referred to it by the opening verse, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Meaning it is Surah Al-Fatiha. In Sahih Muslim, we have the hadith of Ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhu wa ardah, that one day the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was in the company of Jibreel, of Gabriel. He was in the company of Gabriel when he heard a creaking noise coming from the heavens, coming from the sky, a sound. Jibreel alayhi salam, he looked up and he said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, this is a door in the heavens that has opened up which has never been opened previously. An angel came down and approached the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he said, I give the good news of two lights. I give the good news of two lights that have been given to you and which have not been given to any other prophet before you. They are Fatihatul Kitab, the opener or the opening of the Kitab, of the book, and the concluding verses from Surah Al-Baqarah. The last ayat from Surah Al-Baqarah, the second chapter of the Quran. So in this hadith, we know that Surah Al-Fatiha was mentioned and the concluding ayat from Surah Al-Baqarah. Now, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, we know that the Quran is a living miracle. Every prophet that came with a miracle, or most prophets came with a miracle of some sort. But that miracle passed away or ceased to exist with the passing away of the prophet, of that prophet. The only miracle that continues to exist, even though the prophet in which that miracle was sent to was Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the only miracle is the miracle of the Qur'an. It will continue to exist until the end of time. The Qur'an, as you know, my dear brothers and my dear sisters in Islam, is made up of 114 chapters known as suwar. Each one is a surah. The Qur'an is made up of over 6,200 verses. There is some difference of opinion regarding the exact number of the verses, because some verses are broken up differently. some verses, or may be considered one verse, whilst other reciters considered them to be more than one verse. But what we do know is that there are at least 6,200 plus verses, and then the plus ranges from 4 to 40, with a difference of opinion amongst the reciters. We also know that the Quran is divided into juz'. A juz' is a part, and so there are 30 parts, and each part is made up of some 20 pages. So the entire Quran is made up of approximately 600 pages, and most of the scripts that are in circulation will have 604 pages. And this is very useful to know when dividing our recitation up in order to complete the Quran. So, for example, we know that the month is 30 days, and if we were to recite 20 pages per day, one can recite the entire Quran in a month, from cover to cover. We know that also each juz', or each part of the Quran, is made up of another subpart, and this is known as a hizb. And so there are 30 juz' in the Quran, but there are 60 hizb in the Quran. 60 hizb, which are subparts of the Quran. Also useful for those who are memorizing, and for those to keep a track of where they are up to in the Quran. Now, alhamdulillah, there are many books that exist in circulation which are known as books of tafsir. Tafsir means commentary. So it's not just a translation of the Quran. It's not just a verbatim, word for word translation of the Quran, but it's more commentary, giving us the backdrop. Now, the commentary, the purpose of the commentary is to understand the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and so that we can now apply the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these words, so we can understand the guidance that is intended behind these verses and the admonishments that they are offering. Also to take heed of the lessons from the many stories that the Quran has mentioned. Now today, inshallah ta'ala, we are discussing Surah Al-Fatiha. Surah Al-Fatiha, which is the first surah that is in the Quran. Now, just because it's the first surah of the Quran, it doesn't mean that it was the first chapter that was revealed to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because we know that the first verses that were revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam were from Surah Al-Alaq, the first five verses. Iqra, bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq. خلق الإنسان من علق اقرأ وربك الأكرم الذي علم بالقلم علم الإنسان ما لم يعلم. Now, Surah Al-Fatiha, as you heard, is the greatest surah in the Quran, the greatest chapter. And what also shows us that it is a great surah, Muslims recite it no less than 17 times a day in their salat. It is a mandate. It is a requirement of the salat. It is a requirement of the salat, and it is to be recited in every rak'ah, in every rak'ah of the salat. This surah is a surah makkiyah. In other words, it was revealed prior to the migration of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam from Mecca to Medina. It was revealed in the Makki period of the seerah, of the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we know that the suwar and the chapters that are makkiyah, their themes are very similar. So the makkiyah suwar are to do with aqidah, to do with our creed, to do with our belief. And the most important aspect of our aqidah is the belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone, ascribing no partners to Him whatsoever, that He is one with no equals. Also what is very important as part of our aqidah and part of our belief system as Muslims is that we believe and acknowledge that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is His Prophet and is His Messenger, and that He is the seal of the Prophets and the Messengers, that there will be no Prophet or Messenger after Him sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It is also important to believe that there is going to be a day of judgment, a day of resurrection, a day of accountability, that after this there is going to be heaven or hell. These are the fundamental beliefs of a Muslim. Of course, there are other aspects of belief that a Muslim is commanded to believe in, but these are very, very important. Now, the Fatiha, why is it called Fatiha? The Fatiha is the beginning. Okay? So, the Fatiha of anything is its beginning. So, the Fatiha is the first surah, it is the beginning of the Qur'an. And it's also the Fatiha of Salah. So, when you commence your Salah and you say Allahu Akbar, okay, there is a dua which is sunnah, dua al-istiftah, but then what is mandatory is the actual surah, reciting the entire surah. Now, Surah al-Fatiha also has other names. It's not just known as, well, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he didn't just refer to it as al-Fatiha. It is known by other names. So it is known as Fatihatul Kitab, the opener or the opening of the Kitab. The Kitab is the book, and the book here is the Quran. So it is Fatihatul Kitab. It is Ummul Quran. Ummul Quran is the mother. It is the mother of the Quran. It is the mother of the Quran because it contains the fundamentals of the Quran. It contains the fundamentals of the Quran. It contains a creed. It contains ibadah. It contains sharia. Okay? So we find that the Fatiha pretty much is now encapsulating the fundamental message of the Quran. It is also known as As-Sab'ul Mathani. As-Sab'ul Mathani, the seven oft repeated verses, As-Sab'ul Mathani. Because we repeat them in our daily prayers in every rak'ah. So they are known as Sab'ul Mathani. There is a hadith also that informs us that it is also known as the Salah. It is known as As-Salah. And the hadith found in Sahih Muslim, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he gives us the hadith Qudsi, whereby Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قَسَمْتُ الصَّلَاةَ بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَ عَبْدِي نِصْفَيْنِ, that the salah has been divided into two halves between me and my servants. Now here he's specifically talking about Surah Al-Fatiha. Why? Because he goes on and he says, فَإِذَا قَالَ الْعَبْدُ, when the servant, he says, الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ, when he says, الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ, قَالَ اللَّهُ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, حَمِدَنِي عَبْدِي, that my servant has praised me. So he referred to it here as As-Salah. Also, it is known as Ar-Ruqya. It is known as Ruqya. Now, Ruqya means cure. Now, this term Ruqya is often used when you want to perform a recital or recitation upon somebody who is possessed or someone who is afflicted by the evil eye or by black magic, or yani magic of some sort, then you perform ruqya on this person. Now, there is a hadith Abu Sa'idin radiyallahu anhu that we find in Sahih Muslim, that he once recited Surah Al-Fatiha to a person who had been bitten by a scorpion. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when he met up with him, and this person was cured by the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam met up with Abu Sa'id, he said to him, وَمَا يُدْرِيكَ أَنَّهَا رُقْيَة, how did you know it's a ruqya? So he referred to it as a ruqya. Now, as I said earlier, Surah Al-Fatiha is a very, very important surah, and every Muslim must strive to perfect Surah Al-Fatiha and have their Surah Al-Fatiha checked by somebody who is well versed with the Qur'an and the tajweed of the Qur'an and the tartil of the Qur'an, because it's such an important surah. Now, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, لا صلاة لمن لم يقرأ بفاتحة الكتاب, that there is no valid salah for the one who does not read with the opening of the book. In other words, your salah is defective, it is deficient, it is lacking, it is not acceptable. if you do not recite Al-Fatiha. Now the question is here, we know that, for example, if you are praying alone, you will recite Al-Fatiha in every rak'ah. Because you're praying alone, you're going to naturally be reciting it and then reciting a surah after it, if it's the first two units of the prayer. And Surah Al-Fatiha is to be recited in every rak'ah of the salat. So now, in saying that, what happens in the case whereby the a person is praying behind an imam? If you're praying behind an imam, must you also recite Al-Fatiha? Now, the cream of the matter, of this matter, is as follows. Without going into the differences of opinion, there are differences of opinion when it comes to the recitation of Surah Al-Fatiha behind an imam. And what it comes down to is this. If the imam is leading a silent prayer, so for example, it's Dhuhr or Asr, then you recite Al-Fatiha behind him in every rak'ah. If the imam is reciting a loud prayer such as Fajr, Maghrib, Isha, then in the first two rak'ah, you only listen. In the second rak'ah, or two rak'ah, depending on the prayer, where the imam is silent, you recite Al-Fatiha. Okay? Now, for example, we find some scholars, they actually say that when the imam finishes reciting Al-Fatiha loudly, then and he begins the surah, the next surah, he begins another surah after Al-Fatiha, then they said that you should commence reciting Al-Fatiha to yourself. They say, يعني, even that the imam should have a slight pause or break just to allow people to recite Al-Fatiha. But that seems to be one opinion, and like I said, the stronger opinion, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best, is that the Fatiha is only recited when the imam is silent. Likewise, as I said earlier, if the imam is silent, then of course, for all those units, any unit where the imam is silent, you will recite Surah Al-Fatiha. So it's a very important surah, and we need to make sure that we perfect it, and that we do recite it in our salah correctly. Now, the next question that comes to mind, or a lot of people might ask, is how many verses are there in Surah Al-Fatiha? Is it 7 verses? Well, we know according to the hadith, it is 7 verses. Because he said, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he spoke about the 7 oft-repeated verses, As-Sab' al-Mathani. But where this difference of opinion is Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim a verse or not a verse? Now, if when you open up the Mus'haf, most Mus'hafs will have a number 1 after the Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Now, by the way, the name given to Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim is the Basmala. The Basmala. So this phrase, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, instead of always saying Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, when we're referring to it, we say it is referred to as the Basmala. Okay, just like, for example, A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitan Ar-Rajim is referred to as what? Is referred to as the Isti'adha. The Isti'adha. Okay? Now, with regards to the Basmala, Imam Al-Shafi'i, Imam Al-Shafi'i, Rahimahullahu Ta'ala, he stated that the Basmala is actually inclusive. He said it is inclusive of the Surah Al-Fatiha. And that's why if you pray behind an imam who is a Shafi'i, who subscribes to the Shafi'i Madhab, he actually recites it out loud. Okay, when he's leading the prayer. So he will say the Takbiratul Ihram, Allahu Akbar. He will open up his dua al-istiftah to himself. And then he will say, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Okay? Whereas other scholars who don't see that the Basmala is a verse from amongst the verses of Surah Al-Fatiha, they'll straight away say, they'll say Bismillah Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim to themselves. And out loud, they would say, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. So this is with regards to the number of verses. So the majority of scholars, they exclude it from the Fatiha. Now, so therefore, according to the opinion of Imam al-Shafi'i, when you say غَيْرِ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا الضَّالِّينَ, that is the seventh ayah. غَيْرِ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا الضَّالِّينَ. Therefore, to him, the sixth ayah is صِرَاطَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ. That becomes verse number 6. And then غَيْرِ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا الضَّالِّينَ becomes verse number 7. As for the isti'adha, saying "A'udhu billahi min ash-shaitan ar-rajim," this has nothing to do. This is not, an ayah in this situation. It's not an ayah, but it's something that we open up our salah with. So after we say du'a al-istiftah, whether it's Allahumma ba'id bayni wa bayna khatayaya, that du'a, or whether it's Subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdika wa tabarak asmuka, whether it's that du'a, the next thing that you say is أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. And there is some difference of opinion amongst the scholars whether we say أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم at the beginning of each rak'ah, or whether it is only recited at the commencement of the salat in the first rak'ah only. And that seems to be the more sound opinion and correct opinion, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Now when you say أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم, what are you saying? You're actually seeking refuge. You're seeking protection, okay, from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for the shaitan not to confuse you, not to confuse you with regards to the recitation that you were about to recite, okay, and not to confuse you regarding your recital, and not to misguide you, and not to lead you astray, okay. That's why we say أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. And that's why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that whenever any of you thinks about something which goes against the belief, when you think about something which goes against the belief of al-Islam, to say أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم, because these are whisperings of the shaitan trying to derail your iman, trying to misguide you and lead you astray. So now we come to the basmala. When you say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, what are you actually saying? Bismillah, we often know that in the name of Allah, the most gracious, the most merciful, or the merciful, the entirely merciful, the especially merciful, depending on the translation that you open up. So when you say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, basically what you were saying is, I begin my recital, I begin with my recital seeking the blessing through the names of Allah ar-Rahman and ar-Rahim. So now we know that Ar-Rahman and Ar-Rahim are two of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's names. And you're asking Allah subhanahu, you're actually seeking the blessing. You're actually seeking a blessing when you say Bismillah Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. Now, of course, when it comes to eating and drinking, you only say Bismillah. You don't say Bismillah Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. When you come to slaughter your sacrificial animal, or when you come to slaughter an animal for consumption, that is halal, that is permissible to be eaten, you say Bismillah. You don't say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Bismillah, Allahu Akbar. Okay, so so here we know that the Basmala is actually seeking the blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, with regards to the Basmala, every surah in the Qur'an commences with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, or the Basmala, except for one surah, which is Surah At-Tawbah, which is the ninth chapter or ninth surah of the Quran. It does not begin with the Basmala because of the commencing words, which are to do with war, war and fighting. And so it's not befitting to have Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, the most gracious, the most merciful, or the entirely merciful and especially merciful, and then talking about war, it's not a befitting context. It's not a befitting context, as some ulama have said. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. So Ar-Rahman is one of the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One of the names of Allah is Ar-Rahman. To Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala belongs the most beautiful names. Lillahi al-asma'ul husna. They are known as Asma'ul Husna. So one of these names is Ar-Rahman, okay, which is derived from Rahmah, from mercy. It's derived from Rahmah, mercy. Now, then we have Ar-Rahim, another one of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's names. Ar-Rahim. which is a name and an attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, also derived from rahmah, derived from mercy. And it means the one who has mercy over his servants in this life and in the next life. In this life and in the next life. Now, from the manners that Islam has taught us, is to begin all of our actions mentioning the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first. Why is that? There's a number of reasons why we say Bismillah or Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. First of all, يعني, it brings Allah to mind before we do any action. So when you say Bismillah, you're going to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you're going to remember that if all decrees and the blessing is going to come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not going to come from your own skill and your own merit. It comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It also prevents one from doing evil actions. So when you're now mentioning Allah's name, you're going to feel shy to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the more you are in remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the more you are moving your tongue with the remembrance of Allah, then you're going to keep away from the haram, keep away from evil. Also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to support you. Now, by mentioning His name, you know, you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless what you're about to do. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. And of course, it reminds you of the purpose and the source of fulfillment of that need, and that the source of blessings for that action and its final destination. Now we come to Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. All praise, all the hamd, all the praise is due to who? To Lillah, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rabbil Alameen. Rabb is the Lord. Al-Alameen is the worlds. Okay, Lord of the worlds. So, now when we think about Alhamd is something that is is a form of praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we say as Muslims, Alhamdulillah, whether things go our way or not. Okay, you say Alhamdulillah, whether things are going your way or not, you say Alhamdulillah. Like Alhamdulillahi ala kulli hal, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us to say Alhamdulillah for every state, for every condition that we are in. When it comes to shukr, now shukr is a form of gratitude and showing your thanks. Shukr is mainly for something that happens that is in your favor. Okay, that's the difference between shukr and between alhamd. So shukr is when something is in your favor, something, a blessing that you have been given. Okay, and shukr, you can show your gratitude. Okay, with your tongue, with your heart, with your limbs. You know, you can show your thanks in many ways. Unlike alhamd, which is something which is limited to the tongue. You say, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Now, Rabbil Alameen, Rabb, we said, is the Lord. And always the better word to use is the word Rabb, because it contains more meaning and it has more weight. So, Rabb, we know that when it comes to Tawheed, when it comes to monotheism, that there are three areas of Tawheed in Islam. There is Tawheed al-Rububiyyah. Rububiyyah means the Tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is, for example, the sustainer. That He subhanahu wa ta'ala is the controller. He is the owner. He is the giver. So this is Tawheed al-Rububiyyah. There is also Tawheed al-Asma wa sifat. So we see that this surah contains all three categories of Tawheed. It contains Rububiyyah. As we just heard, Alhamdulillahi Rabb al-Alameen. That He is the Lord of the worlds. Everything that is contained in these worlds. Okay, in this world. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ar-Rahman ar-Rahim would be the tawheed of the names and the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That we acknowledge that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has names and attributes. Okay? Then we're going to see shortly, we're going to see tawheed al-uluhiyyah. The three areas of tawheed that are all encapsulated in this chapter, which is the mother of the Quran, Ummul Kitab. Now, Al-Alameen is everything that exists apart from Allah. Everything that is in existence apart from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Al-Alameen. So now, Alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah, the Lord of Al-Alameen, the Lord of the worlds. So here, Al-Alameen are those who have an intellect, okay, which are the humans, which are the jinn, which includes the angels, okay, Al-Alameen. Al-alamin. Everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created. So He is the Lord of Al-alamin. Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim. Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, we said are the two names, and we're seeing it again. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Now we're seeing it in the seven verses. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim. Now, the entirely merciful, the especially merciful. Maliki Yawmiddin. Malik, okay, is the sovereign. The sovereign. He is the sovereign. He is the highest ruler. And there is also Maliki. And one of the ways to recite Al-Fatiha is Maliki. Maliki is, okay, the king. The king. He is the owner. Okay, he is the owner and he is the king. So he is the highest authority. Maliki yawm al-din. He is the sovereign of the day of ad-din. Ad-din is the day of judgment. Here, ad-din, the meaning of ad-din here is the day of judgment. Yawma, as the ulama have said, yawma yadinu Allahu al-ibada bi-a'malihim. Because What is meant by this phrase, or what is meant by this word deen here, is that this is the day that Allah rewards people for their actions. Okay? Now, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ means you alone we worship, and you alone we seek help. إِسْتِعَانَ نَسْتَعِينَ is when you're seeking help. نَسْتَعِينَ. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ. Here, نَعْبُدُ comes from عِبَادَة, worship. You alone we worship, which means this is here the Tawheed al-Uluhiyya. Tawheed al-Uluhiyya. When you're acknowledging that only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is deserving of your act of worship. Iyaka, you alone we worship. Wa iyaka nasta'een. And we seek the help from you alone, because you are the one that is able to help us. So we have Tawheed al-Uluhiyya within this verse. In other words, also, we do not dedicate our act of worship to anyone else. You alone we fear, you alone we seek help to worship you. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. Now, the ibadah here came before the isti'ana. The ibadah, then the help. Why? Because we need the help for the ibadah. So the ibadah is mentioned, and Ya Allah, help us regarding this ibadah. Help us to achieve this ibadah. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. And we know that in the hadith of Ibn Abbas, when he was behind the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the riding animal, he said, احفظ الله يحفظك احفظ الله تجده تجاهك إذا سألت فاسأل الله. He said, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said to young Ibn Abbas, he said to him, when you ask, then ask Allah. وَإِذَا اسْتَعَنْتَ. And when you seek help, seek it from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the isti'ana. So at least 17 times a day, we are asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. Now, this here is the first half of this surah. Remember we said that this surah is broken up into, or divided into two halves. There is a one half which is pretty much praising and exalting and glorifying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now the second half of this surah is going to be dua. It's going to be supplication. Okay? So, we've acknowledged Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He is Ar-Rahman, He is Ar-Rahim, that He alone we worship, He alone we seek help. Now we're about to ask Him something. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. And now here we're going to ask Him, إِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمَ. Ihdina means guide us. Ihdina, guide us to siratul mustaqim. Guide us to the path which is mustaqim, which is straight. Which is straight. Now, when it comes to mankind, there are three types of people. There are people who actually praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are people who have knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they act upon that knowledge. So there are people who have knowledge about Allah and they act upon this knowledge. There are people who have knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but they do not act upon this knowledge. They do not act upon this knowledge. And there are people who have no knowledge of Allah, and so consequently, they do not worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's what you're going, any person in the world is going to have to fit into one of these three categories. One of these three categories. Okay? So either they either know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they worship Him, or they know Allah and they don't worship Him, or they don't know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and don't worship Him. Okay? Or it could be that they won't be worshipping Allah. They might have a form of worship, but not to do with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because they don't know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So now, we've now mentioned the first half of Surah Al-Fatiha. Now also what this half of the Fatiha teaches us, that before we're going to now begin this dua, that it's important to praise Allah. So when it comes to our everyday dua, before you actually ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then follow this system, follow this way of Al-Fatiha, whereby you praise Allah. You say, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Ya Allah, Ya Rahman, Ya Rahim. Now you also exalt Him and you acknowledge Him. So you praise Him, you acknowledge Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's names and attributes. Okay? And the Sunnah also teaches us, okay, to add wa sallallahu wa sallama wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad, to send peace and blessings upon the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So now we come to the dua, ihdina sirat al-mustaqim. Now in this verse there is a targhib, okay, there is encouragement, there is inspiration, okay. Ihdina sirat al-mustaqim. Okay, you're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide you to the straight path. So there is a straight path. So you're reminding yourself about, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding us about this straight path. And the opposite of the straight path would be what? Would be the crooked path or deviant paths. And we know the hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one day he drew a line on the ground. He drew one straight line. And on each side of this straight line, he drew some other lines, you know, veering off to the right and to the left. And he said, this is the Siratullah al-Mustaqim. That this path is the straight path, the path to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa anna hadha, and he recited, wa anna hadha sirati mustaqima. This is my straight path. فَاتَّبِعُوهُ, follow it. وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا السُّبُلْ, and do not follow the other paths. So, and then he mentioned that these other lines, at the head of each one of these other lines is a shaitan, is the devil calling to that path. So we need to stay focused. And that's what we're asking. We're asking Allah, اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ, guide us to the straight path. صِرَاطَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ, the sirat of those, alladhina, those, an'amta alayhim, that you have bestowed your blessing upon, that you have bestowed your ni'mah upon. So here, again, we have a lesson here in acknowledging any blessing that you have. That we acknowledge that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He blesses people. Sirat alladhina an'amta alayhim. Now, so therefore we should always be striving to find out who are these people. What are their lives about? Sirat al-ladhina an'amta alayhim. Okay, who are they? Who are these? Who should be our leaders? Who should be our mentors? Our role models? Okay, sirat al-ladhina an'amta alayhim. And we know that those people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed His blessing upon are the anbiya. Who are the prophets and the messengers? Who else? They are the Siddiqeen, the truthful ones, who are truthful with regard to their belief. They are the Shuhada, they are the martyrs, those who died for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, fighting for His cause. They are the righteous people, As-Saliheen, and we find this in an ayah in the Quran. Al-Anbiya, and the Siddiqeen and the Shuhada and the Salihin. So here we have Sirat al-Ladina an'amta alayhim, غير المغضوب. غير المغضوب عليهم. Unlike the path of those upon whom you have bestowed your favor, and not of those whom or who have invoked your anger, your ghadab. Al-maghdub alayhim, maghdub comes from ghadab. Ghadab means anger. Anger. Al-maghdub alayhim, those that, oh Allah, those people you are angry with. And the ulama, when they give tafsir of this, they refer to the Jews. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is angry with the Jews who knew the truth, who know what the truth is, yet they do not apply this truth. Al-maghdubi alayhim. And the dalleen are those who have gone astray. And they are the Christians. And they are the Nasara who went astray, attributing to their faith that which is not of their faith, that which is not in their faith. غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. So there is here tarheeb. In the previous verse, there was tarheeb. There is encouragement. Ya Allah, you know, اهدنا الصراط المستقيم, the straight path. Now here, we have to be looking for the main path, the straight path. But the مغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين, beware. Allah is reminding us, beware of the maghdubi alayhim. Beware of those that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is angry with. So this is tarheeb here. غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. Now, this is where Surah Al-Fatiha ends. Ameen is not from Surah Al-Fatiha. Ameen is not from Surah Al-Fatiha. Ameen is something that we are required to say after we recite Surah Al-Fatiha in the Salat. In the Salat. So when you are in the Salat, the Imam says, وَلَا الضَّالِينَ. Okay? Then he says Ameen, and we say Ameen along with him. And there is merit and there is virtue in doing that. Okay? So Ameen means, oh Allah, answer my supplication. Because remember we said that Al-Fatiha is made up of two halves. It's made up of praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, exalting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, glorifying Him. Then there comes the dua. And at the end of the dua, you are saying Ameen. Now by the way, when you do say Ameen with the Imam, Ameen, the part should only be prolonged for two counts. Harakatan or harakatain, which means you only say Ameen. Now the mean can be prolonged for either two or four or six counts, depending on how far, how many counts you normally end up on the end of your ayat that have in the second last letter a long vowel. So for example, if you are the type that says Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. So if you're doing a six count, then when it comes to your Ameen, keep it consistent. Ameen. Okay, you're allowed to do that. Okay, but the A part of Ameen should not be prolonged for six counts. And this is a common mistake. A common mistake that we find when it comes to the Salat. And people saying Ameen. So we said that Ameen is not part of Al-Fatiha. Ameen means, oh Allah, answer my supplication. And it's the only time that's been recommended to be said when you are actually in the Salat. Now I'm going to end up inshallah ta'ala with the hadith that is found in Sahih Muslim. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, Allah the Exalted said, I have divided the prayer. I have divided the prayer. Here meaning Al-Fatiha. I have divided Al-Fatiha into two halves, between myself and between my servant, and my servant shall have what he has asked for. If he says, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, قال الله حمدني عبدي. Allah says, my servant has praised me. Each time you say, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, you are saying, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, my servant has praised me. And when the servant says, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, okay, قال الله أثنى علي عبدي. Allah says, my servant has glorified me. My servant has glorified me. So praise me, glorified me. And when he says, Maliki yawmiddin, the owner of the day of recompense, قال الله مجدني عبدي. Allah says, my servant has glorified me. And then when you say, or when he says, إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين, you alone we worship, and you alone we seek help, قال هذا بيني وبين عبدي ولعبدي ما سأل. This is between me, this is between Allah, this is between me and my abd, and my servant, and for my servant, okay, and for my servant, he shall have what he asks for. He shall have what he asks for. وَلِعَبْدِي مَا سَأَلْ. And when he says, اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ صِرَاطَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ غَيْرِ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا الضَّالِّينَ. Allah says, هَذَا لِعَبْدِي وَلِعَبْدِي مَا سَأَلْ. This is for my abd. This is for my servant, and for my servant is what he has asked for. So as it's like, so this is what's happening when you are reciting Surah Al-Fatiha in your salah. In your salah. هذا والله أعلم وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.